Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Nice to see you once again as we turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and the new verse, verse 28. Before we read it, let's just remind ourselves that there is this progressive step-by-step advance on the part of faith within the heart and soul of Moses. I've mentioned it before how his mum and dad believed in the Lord and trusted him and obeyed him, and that in turn became a feature of the life of Moses, because Moses was taught by his mum. Remember how that worked out? Found by the Egyptian princess and Miriam, who had been hiding, watching to see how things would go, rushed forward and said, "Would you like me to find a lady to look after this little boy?" And the princess said, "Yes, that would be a good idea, and I'll pay her." So Miriam went home and got her mum, Moses' mother, and she took Moses back again and looked after him and raised him, with money being supplied by Pharaoh. Listen, boys and girls, when you read the Bible, you will nearly see a smile on God's face, because the man who under God was going to bring judgment upon Egypt and the destruction of Egypt was the little boy that Pharaoh, for it would have been his money that the princess passed on, Pharaoh paid to feed, to clothe, and to look after. And little did Pharaoh know this would be the outcome. But that's what God's doing even now. There are plenty in the world who don't know that what they are helping to bring about will be the judgment of God on this world. Nations that are opposed to God are getting together, not knowing they're but furthering God's purpose and God's plan by which the world will be judged one day and the Savior comes. Never forget that. You look out on the world with these eyes and you'll see confusion. You'll see the cause of God apparently being overthrown, voices raised against it, parliaments passing laws forbidding the gospel being advanced, and every hindrance. But just you remember, God is working out his plan, his purpose, even through the wicked actions of men. That's why the Christian can smile at the storm and not be worried about it, because they know the Lord will get the victory in the end. All right, verse 28, you're looking at it? Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. I think we all know something about the Passover. The little lamb chosen, then sacrificed, and the blood taken of that lamb and sprinkled on the doorpost and on the headpost. And the doorway that was thus marked was saved from the judgment that came that dark night all over Egypt when God smote the firstborn in every family. But those who were under the blood, they weren't smitten, they weren't judged, they escaped. And that's what's talked about here. I might just say this. We sang a little hymn this morning by Isaac Watts, which starts off, "Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain." Sometimes people get a little confused about all the sacrifices that you have required of Israel in the Old Testament. Every morning began with the sacrifice of a lamb in the temple. Every evening ended with the sacrifice of a lamb in the temple. And in between those two events, there were many other sacrifices taking place, and there were special days of sacrifice. Hundreds and hundreds of sacrifices throughout the year. But boys and girls, the sacrifice and the shedding of the blood of the animals did not save the soul of those who made the sacrifice. But rather, it was a picture. It was a picture. Now, I don't think I see any of you in that particular picture first of a year long ago. And if I was to go over to more recent pictures, I could see a picture of you there but that's not you. Oh, the picture is of you, but it's not you. It is a mere picture. And likewise, those sacrifices were pictures. There were so many different sacrifices, different animals that were offered, along with other sacrifices. And the reason for that is because the Lord Jesus is such a wonderful person that one animal, one sacrifice, could not set forth all his wonderful character. Photographers, if they take your picture, may take you from this side, and then they may go around and take you from this side, or they may take you from the front, because just one picture will not show everything of you. The famous film star, inverted commas, and even when they were shooting a film, he insisted they only shoot him from one side. If they took the other side, it was only a very quick little glimpse of it, because he felt one side of his face was much better than the other. There was a blemish or so on the other side, so he didn't want to show it, and he would insist on the good side being shown. So one picture wouldn't tell the full story about that boy. You'd have to go to the bad side as well and take a picture of it to show the full story concerning him. Well, do you understand what I'm saying? All these animals were pictures of the Lord Jesus. And when an Israelite brought a sacrifice, he was saying to God, I believe your promise of a Redeemer. And this animal I am bringing is a symbol of the Redeemer. And my offering of it is a picture of my faith in the coming Redeemer. That's what the Old Testament was all about. So there is a picture here in our verse. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Here's Moses obeying God, doing what God had said should be done. It was God who said, this is what you have to do on the night when I will pass through Egypt in judgment. And if you don't do it, then you will suffer the judgment also. Even though you're a Jew, a Hebrew, you'll pay the price the same as the Egyptians. So you better obey what I am telling you. And boys and girls, here you are, mom and dad saved. You know the Bible, you hear the gospel, but if you don't obey, then you'll suffer like all those out there who know nothing about the gospel. You've got to obey God. You've got to believe the gospel. You've got to act upon it. So bear that in mind. First thing we're going to look at then is the Passover marked the beginning of a new era for the Israelite. A new year began. There was a rewriting, as it were, of the calendar at the time of the Passover. In Exodus chapter 12 and the verse 2, listen to it while I read. This month, that's the month when the Passover was to take place, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Passover takes place still around about April every year, and that's the beginning of the Jewish year. So they have a different calendar from the rest of the world. Our year begins in January, but the Jewish year begins at the Passover in around about April. And boys and girls, let me tell you, if we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, whom John the Baptist announced as the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb of God, that's who Jesus was. And that's what the Passover lamb back there in Exodus was a picture of. And if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, a new year begins in your life, a new calendar. You have a new start. I keep a diary, as all of your teachers, maybe some of you too, and we get a new one renewed every year. But I like to buy the Trinitarian Bible Society diary. Do you know why? Because they have the first day of the week as the Lord's Day, which is true. But if you buy an ordinary worldly man's diary, it inevitably starts with a Monday, because that's when the working week starts. The world doesn't care about the Lord's Day. It's Monday is the important day. So they start their week on Monday. And that's a little illustration of the fact that the Christian is working to a different timetable than the rest of the world. The rest of the world has plans and thoughts and desires and ambitions different from the Christian. The Christian is keeping to a different timetable. And that's to be observed here in this statement that is found in Exodus chapter 12 and the verse 2. There was a new beginning when the Passover took place. Second thing, it was the sacrifice of the lamb that marked the new beginning. Oh, boys and girls, how wonderfully illustrative is this sacrifice, which marked the last night in Egypt for the Hebrews and the beginning of a march out of Egypt toward the promised land. That is to be seen as a wonderful picture. Wonderful illustration. That's what happens when you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. When you get in under the blood of the Lamb, you part company with Egypt. That's the last time you'll have anything to do with the world, as much as lies within you. And you'll start for heaven. Do you understand that? In Exodus again, in that chapter 12, which sets out the whole plan of God regarding the Passover, the lamb is mentioned three times. Three times that I want to draw your attention to. In verse 3, we have a lamb mentioned. The Hebrews were to select a lamb. Go out to the flock, pick a young lamb, 1 year old and less, within its first year, healthy, no blemishes, a lamb. Then the next verse, verse 4, talks about the lamb. Having selected a lamb, then they were to set the lamb they had selected apart to make sure that it was healthy. Give it a few days to see that it wasn't sickly or anything like that. A lamb, the lamb. And then the next verse, your lamb. For God says, now, the lamb you've chosen and the lamb that you have separated for examination and which has become your lamb will be sacrificed. Boys and girls, here this morning, Jesus Christ to you, some of you, may only be a lamb, nothing special. You've heard about him in Sunday school. Or he may be the lamb. What you've heard in Sunday school has taught you he's the Saviour. I know. I'm taught he's the only way to heaven. But I know that for some of you, he's not a Saviour or the Saviour, but he's your Saviour. He's your Saviour. Just as there was this progression with the Israelite choosing that sacrificial lamb, he went out among his flock and he picked one. Then he took that lamb back home, as it were, and placed it where he could see it every day for a period. But then there came the time when he sacrificed that lamb and it became his lamb. Tell me, has the Lord Jesus become your Saviour? Or is he just a Saviour? Or the Saviour? But he's not quite your Saviour yet. Oh, learn the lesson that's here. If he's not your Saviour, you will not get to heaven. Plenty, if I might put it like this, who will stand at the gates of heaven and say, yes, I believe the Lord Jesus is the Saviour. Why can't I get in? And they'll be told, yes, you believe he's the Saviour, but you never made him your Saviour. Have you made him your Saviour? Then, let me notice with you too, that the lamb was killed in the evening time. I've said before, you've got to notice every detail that God gives. All things have a meaning. And the fact that the lamb was killed in the evening time was very important. Verse 6 of Exodus says, whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, all together. So in every house, thousands, tens of thousands of houses, they all did this sacrificing at the same time. At the same time. You see, it was a special evening. It was the ending of a day of trouble and persecution and wickedness experienced by the Jew. It was the evening time. It was the beginning of the night for Egypt. Darkness was coming. The darkness of God's judgment. Do you know what the New Testament tells us? Hebrews 9:26 says that, but now, if you want to just turn back a page, you'll find it. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews chapter 9, and verse 26. When Jesus died at the cross, it was the evening of this world. It's getting steadily darker ever since. And out there in the world today, there are things taking place that indicate how dark things have become. For once the light of the gospel shone, it's not shining anymore. Here in Ulster, you know, it was very, very bright. Not shining as bright now. The evening is drawing on. The evening of God's judgment on this world. The Bible keeps telling us these are the last days. And Calvary indicated that. That it was the evening of this world. Boys and girls, I want you to understand that. This world is heading for darkness and for the judgment of God. Like as it fell upon the Egyptians. That night, it says, the angel of the Lord passed through the land and smote the firstborn of every house where there was no blood. Well, that night coming for this world, that night which was pictured for us back then, at the time of the first Passover, that night's coming. Even as Hebrews 9:26 tells us, in the end of the world, Jesus died. His death signaled that we were coming to the end of the age. Now, it's been 2,000 years, or thereabouts, since Jesus was crucified. You're saying, whew, it's lasting a long time. But that only shows the mercy of God, boys and girls. He's shown you mercy if you're not saved. He's spoken to you numerous times, troubled you by his Spirit many times. Still you're not saved. God isn't swift to mark iniquity. He's not quick to strike down those who are disobedient. And he has shown that in your life. Don't waste any more time. Don't defy God any longer, but obey him. Then we'll notice that the blood of the Passover lamb provided a protective covering from judgment. It says in our text concerning Moses, verse 28 of Hebrews 11, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. God would not touch in judgment those who were under the blood. That's true. There's no judgment will ever touch those who are under the blood of the Lamb. The precious blood preserved them from destruction. Destruction that came with a mere touch of the Lord. See what it says? Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. No mortal man can kill with a touch. Can't do it. But God can. God can end the life of any of us with a mere touch. Oh, how we need to fear the Lord and make sure we're under the blood. They were told how they had to apply the precious blood, and it was done in a special way. You couldn't go out with the blood in a vessel that they had used to catch the blood of the sacrifice and just go outside and sprinkle it about the door. That'll do. No, it wouldn't. The blood had to be applied to the house in the manner God required. They shall take of the blood, it says in Exodus chapter 12, the verse 7, and also the verse 13. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses. There, and there, and there. Not there. Because there you walk. There you put your feet. When you don't put your feet on the blood of Christ, that's the uttermost rejection of the Lord Jesus. There's been many a protest of late, and those who are against Israel have taken the flag of Israel. They've torn it up. Maybe they've burned it. But very often you'll see them throwing it on the ground, stamping on it, to show how much they hate Israel. Those who walk on the blood of Christ stamp their feet upon the gospel message. It's a defiance of God and a rejection of the gospel. And that's why they were to put the door posts and mark them and the head of the door frame and mark it. And the blood shall be for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land. Are you under the blood today? Are you? That's a solemn question. And it's possible to know that you're under the blood. Possible to know. I'm sure there were many wee boys and girls that night, especially the oldest child in the Hebrew family, would have slipped out to the door and had a look and made sure the blood was there. Daddy had done the job, because they realised our life depends upon that blood being on the doorpost. Your eternal salvation depends upon you being under the blood of the Lamb. Last thing, the Passover lamb was to be eaten by the people, and as they ate it, they had to be ready to travel. It's a wonderful picture, this. It's a most precious picture. You see, you're not only to be under the blood of the Lamb, boys and girls, but you're to feast upon Christ every day. And that will strengthen you for the journey that we have to take day by day. That's what gives strength to the Christian. I feed upon the Lord Jesus. I feed upon him by reading the Bible, learning about him, taking in what I hear and read in the Bible about the Lord Jesus. That's how I become stronger as a Christian and are enabled to walk. Listen to what it says. This is Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. And they shall eat it with their loins girded. They had their coats on, belted up, ready to go. Normally when we sit down for the meal, well, if we happen to have come in wearing an overcoat, we take it off. But this was a picture to show the people were ready to travel. What's happening tonight will give us liberty, and we'll be starting out of Egypt. Your shoes on your feet. In many countries, it's a custom when you go into the house, you take your shoes off. I used to forget when I was in Canada, where that is a custom. I go ploughing in with my shoes. No, no, take your shoes off. And they usually had a pair of slippers for you to wear. That was just a custom. I don't know how it arrived in Canada. And it was in many countries the same. And it would have been the same in the Hebrews. They come in, they take their shoes off, probably wore indoor slippers. But when they ate the Passover, they had their coat on, and they had their shoes on, and tied, ready to go. Then it goes on, and it says, and your staff in your hand, walking stick. That's what helps you when you're walking, especially in rough country. We don't usually have to do that. But if you were walking over old rocky ground, stony ground, a staff in your hand was a handy thing, because you could go off balance because of the rockiness. And the staff was there to keep your balance. So they were ready for travelling, these people. Coat on, shoes on, staff in their hand. And then it says, and ye shall eat it in haste. Don't take your time about it. But eat it with an awareness that time's short. Time is short. The natural tendency of men and women and of boys and girls, when they hear the gospel, oh, I don't have to get saved now. I don't have to obey God now. I can take my time. That's wrong. Why is it wrong? Because we know not what a day will bring forth. You know, I search the news every day just to have a look at it on the internet. And when I look at our local news web pages, invariably, someone has died in an accident, car accident, or some other form of accident. Now listen to me, boys and girls. When those who died started that day, when they stepped into their car, or onto their motorbike, or onto their bicycle, or started walking down the pavement, they did not think, this is my last day. No, their head was filled with plans for that weekend, the holiday in the summertime. And we must obey the gospel because we know not what a day will bring forth. Don't delay. You're young, yes, yes, yes. But don't delay. come to Christ, get under the blood, be saved for all eternity. Well, let's bow in prayer. Close your eyes, we'll pray. Dear Lord, bless the word today to the boys and girls. Bless the school and for those in the exams, here and in other schools. Oh God, may there be something of a sense of the shortness of time given to all who have heard thy word. Bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.